Well, hello everyone. Dale, thanks for spending some time with us this afternoon. This is a special moment for us. You've done a lot for our track, and we wanted to celebrate this being your home track. We talked about the fans. The fans have watched you grow up here, whether it be playing with Matchbox cars in the infield, racing Legends cars on our front stretch, winning the All-Star race, as well as your first Cup pole, to even helping us turn on our giant Speedway TV. You've been here for us a lot, and it's truly meant a lot to us. But as we thought of a way to say thank you, you've said that the appreciation tour was about the fans, and it was about others. You know, that you've been blessed with a great life, and basically anything someone did for you, you want to impact other people. So today, in your honor, not only for what you've done at the track, but for off the track as well, we'd like to announce the creation of the Dale Earnhardt Jr. Concussion Research Fund at Levine's Children's Hospital of Carolina's Healthcare System in Charlotte. This $100,000 gift will be used in three ways. First, to underwrite concussion baseline testing for more than 10,000 students in high schools, middle schools, and athlete associations across 8 counties. We're expanding the program to include CHS's support for your hometown school, Mooresville High School, and I think we have the football team walking in here. And you guys have got a big football game against Vance Cougars tonight, right? All right. Well, thanks for being here. And Coach Bixby, thanks for letting them break routine to come join us today. Second, the gift is going to fund cutting-edge research, such as blink reflexometry, which measures a person's blinking reflexes to diagnose concussions. And then lastly, the fund will support educational seminars for parents, students, coaches, and pediatricians about concussions throughout the region. I want to thank Mark Griffith and our partners at Carolina Healthcare Foundation for helping us develop this foundation and this fund and the architecture for how to touch so many lives in the area on behalf of Charlotte Motor Speedway and Speedway Children's Charities. Marcus, you kind of gave us the vision for this. Can you share why establishing the fund was so important?
Well, Dale, as Greg said, we're really proud of Charlotte Motor Speedway to be your home track, your hometown track, and wanted to do something special for you. You gave a big challenge to all of us promoters to do something that has a lasting impact, and this program is going to be something that makes a lifetime of impact on a lot of students, and we're really thrilled that we can work with Carolina's Medical Center and work with 10,000 students in the area to make that impact, to help them when they need it, and it's going to help even beforehand with the baseline testing and after, and we want to do something that we felt would make you proud, and it's something that represents how proud we are as an entire sport, and certainly in Charlotte Motor Speedway, of you. Thank you very much for all you've done for our sport.
Well, I appreciate it, Marcus. We've known each other a really long time, and you know me well, so this is a great gift that will impact a lot of lives in this area and make a difference. I appreciate you guys bringing out the football team for Blue Devils. I got to go to a game, my first game in a long, long time last year. Great experience. And having gone and graduated from Mooresville, that's the team to pull for. So we will hope you guys have a good season and are having a good season. You got a lot of fans in and around Mooresville that are pulling for you guys every week. But thank you so much. This track's been real special to me. This is one of the few tracks that I probably never missed a race, you know, since I was a little boy. So I've been coming here a really long time, have a lot of memories here in and out of the car. And I appreciate that's a great gesture that's just going to have such a, long-lasting impact. Very, very smart, very creative, so I appreciate that a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. Scott?
We might have a couple of photos.
guys will come around here to the front, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, again, we'd like to thank our special friends from Carolina's healthcare system and from Mooresville High School coming in to help us demonstrate what this research fund is going to be all about. It was a great pleasure on behalf of the Speedway, Dale. We know you're passionate about concussion awareness as well as helping children with what you've done through the Dale Jr. Foundation. So we hope this gift is going to be a great legacy for your name, having a great impact here in the Charlotte area. Thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate it. We, you know, we have a, you know, a lot of history with concussions and awareness and rehab and all that good stuff. And so this is something that's actually, you know, very close to my heart. I hope to be able to continue to help others going forward. This is a great way to do that. So thanks again.
All right, we're going to go ahead and open questions for Dale. I know that this will be a very popular media availability. Please keep your hands held high so we can try to get as many in the time that we have. We're going to start up front with Jenna and go to Kenny.
Jennifer, AP Dale, I wanted to ask you about these gifts. Marcus mentioned that you challenged the tracks to do something impactful. You're the third year in a row that we've seen drivers get gifts, and it seems that they all try to outdo each other, but in the case of you, where they're doing impactful things, they're actually putting thought into it and they're not these silly. So one, why was that important to you, and where would you say this today ranks for you in the things you've gotten?
Yeah, it's hard to rank them, not knowing the lasting impression they're all going to have around their communities, but I try not to really, you know, get into the, make it a competition. That was the reason I didn't need any silly stuff and goofy gifts that I'm just going to go take home and put in a warehouse and store away somewhere and never see. And just knowing what my own experiences with working in our foundation and seeing what the sport's done over the years, I thought it just was like, hey, you know, this is a great opportunity to sort of make a impact in each little area in each community. And if the tracks, you know, the tracks can get creative. It'll be awesome to see what they come up with. So, I just feel real blessed, and I can't imagine there's anything that I need that they could come up with that I'd be like, yeah, you know, been looking for this. So it feels so good to see others, you know, get help and be helped. So that's when I want everybody to be happy, you know, that's kind of my thing and way I've always been. And hopefully this season makes a lot of people happy, you know. So that's the deal. Yeah. Yeah, I went there from the 9th to the 12th.
All right, Kenny, go ahead.
Kenny Bruce with NASCAR.com. Dale, along the line of gifts, your helmets, driver's uniforms, and things like that from this year, what happens to those? I mean, did you have something planned for your final Daytona 500 helmet, the Homestead stuff, things like that?
Well, if you want to know the truth, I only have one helmet. And I've only used one helmet each year for a long time. So when people come asking for helmets, it's kind of hard to give them away because that's the only helmet I have from that season. And I like to keep it myself and store it away. So I don't have a whole lot of helmets floating around. I know that Tony was really smart wearing a different one each week. I probably should have done something like that. But the Stilos I got are $3,000 to $5,000 a piece. So, and I ain't buying them. So. I just wear the same one all year. We get three uniforms at the start of the year and then another three in the middle of the season. They take those and chop them up and put them in trading cards and stuff like that. We get one or two, and Hendrick gets one or two. We split them. And I like to keep one of those. I do give them to – usually I give the uniforms away to drivers for their charity events. Clint called this week, wanting one for his. And so we'll give him a uniform out of our allotment. We've got just all of it cataloged away. So there's just not a lot of that stuff floating around. And once I get a helmet and a pair of gloves and a pair of shoes worked in, I usually wear those every day, all the time. And, I wear the same pair of gloves for half the season and the same pair of shoes till they just bust in two. But once you get them comfortable, it's hard to put on the new ones. So I do have a special paint scheme for Homestead, and I'll have a helmet for that, and I think there's just one of those. And if the car makes it through the race, I'm going to take the car, and Rick can have the helmet. That's our deal. So that's the same deal he had with Jeff, is that Jeff gave him the helmet, and Jeff got the car. And so I think that's the same deal I'm going to get with Rick.
All right, Claire. Claire, then we'll come up front to Tom.
Claire Belang, Sirius XM NASCAR Radio. You, on your Twitter handle, describe yourself as retired fullback for the Mooresville Blue Devils soccer. What was your football? Did you ever try to get into football, and how was it to have the team here?
Yeah, so when I went to Mooresville, I was going into the 9th grade, and the dean of the school or superintendent or whatever was showing us around a week before school started. I was really nervous because I'd never been to a public school in a long time, and I had been going to Christian schools, military schools, all that stuff. So this was a lot of kids, so we were real nervous. But they're showing us around the property, and I was 4'10" at the time. I think I was 5'3" when I got my driver's license. My first driver's license, I was 5'3". So I was real short, and we was driving by the football field where they were the practice field, and they're out there practicing, and I said, I want to play football. And the guy said, I'm going to take you down and introduce you to the soccer coach. So I don't think you need to be playing football. So I played soccer anyways. So I got me a letter jacket and all that. We went to state and lost, but it was a lot of fun. I played 1 year, and I was the backup. So I sat on the bench all year, and I got to play a couple games. We was a pretty good team, so we'd get a big lead. I'd get in a couple games, but I never got to play football, but just as a fan all these years.
Look at you now. That's a pretty cool story. Can you also talk about what happened on the track that you are going to a backup?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's, you guys saw it during practice. The stuff that they sprayed down, it's had a bad reaction to the sun or something that's made it really slick. We saw in at Bristol, it takes some heat and some activity to work it in and get it to activate and create grip, but we've never seen it like like this. So I don't know, you know, I know it's the same stuff that they've used in the past that we've not had any issues with here and at New Hampshire and other places, but something about the way they either put, when they put it on, the time of day, the sun beating on it all day, I don't know, something has made it to where it's, it doesn't have grip, it's the opposite. So when you get in it, you just take off. And I thought we broke a suspension part or had a flat or something, because it just went straight in the fence. There was no stopping it. So we just have to be real careful until that stuff somehow gets activated some way or another. I don't, I'm a little concerned, because I think, in, you know, this was a race that I was really excited about, because it's the first Charlotte race planned to be ran in the daytime in a long time. And I think that this track will do well in the heat of the day, as opposed to how the races go in the, at night when the track is cool. So I was really excited about it. I'm a little concerned. Hopefully that stuff will activate and we can use it, at least get up there and run in it without worrying about our cars crashing.
All right, we're going to go to Tom and then to Dustin. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, Dale. Tom Jensen, PopularSpeed.com. This time of year, drivers start getting really uptight, worrying about points and whether they're going to advance to the next round and so forth. I know you'd prefer to be racing for a championship now, but is the fact that you're not allowed you to enjoy these final races and the interaction with the fans and the media more than might otherwise?
Well, probably not. I think that the fans would be having more fun if we were racing for the championship, and then I'd be having more fun, you know, interacting with them in that manner and their excitement of it. So I think it's a little bittersweet for me and the fans, our supporters, with the situation we're in. I only really have fun when we run well. It's been a difficult year from a fun meter standpoint. We haven't really moved the needle too much this year, but this past couple weekends, especially at Dover, Richmond, we've seen some improvements and had fun driving the car and been quick. So, and I think we were good off the truck today. I thought we had something to build on. I don't really know how to compare the backup car to the primary, and it doesn't have all the bells and whistles, so it might not be quite as good as I was hoping, I guess, initially when we rolled it off the truck today. But that's it. I mean, I have fun. I enjoy running well. When I don't run well, I don't know anybody that enjoys that, and it's hard to make light of it or hard to smile through it. And I think the fans would have more fun, and in turn me having more fun, if we were in the thick of the championship battle.
All right, Dustin, go ahead.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. Dale, two things. One, does the PJ1 need to be applied then the rest of the weekend, or once it wears off, should it not be applied for Sunday? And two, right now Jimmy's the only multi-time active champion in the sport. Who, in your mind, could be the most likely to be the next multi-time champion?
Kyle looks really strong in this particular part of the season, so I think that he has a really great shot at making that happen this year. But I wouldn't apply any more of that stuff for now until we figure out what happened today and why it reacted the way it did why the track was the way it was, why you couldn't touch it, and why guys are having so much trouble with it, us included. So I would try to investigate a little bit before we go any further with that. And I think that I don't think the weekend's lost. I think that we just need to. Hopefully, you know, with the other track activity and so forth, that stuff will kind of get worked in and activated. I don't know anything else that they can do. You can't remove it, really. They can go up there and pressure wash and carry on, but it's in there. It's on the surface, and it's probably going to just take more track activity to get it off, and I think work it in or whatever. So we'll have something raceable at some point in the weekend, I'm sure.
Okay, we'll go Daniel, then Brandon. Go ahead, Daniel.
Daniel McFadden with NBC Sports. Going back to what you said earlier about helmets, you've always had like special like skeleton themed helmets on designs on your helmets and on your gloves. I was wondering, what's the story about your love of that design?
Yeah, sure. So when I started racing in the Xfinity series in 98 or 99, I think, we started getting helmets from Nick Pastura, and he used to paint backdrops for rock and roll tours like Guns N' Roses and so forth, so I figured he could paint a mean skull. So I just told him to put something on the back there that would make everybody think I'm a little crazy and make all the drivers wonder about me. But and we just never have changed the theme, and I don't know what else I'd put on there anyways. So I think it's something that I was more about, like, it was more about like, hey, Nick, you just have fun with this and do whatever you want to do. And I like skulls and you know, pirates and all that good stuff. And so just have fun with it. And he just does something new every time. And he's done an amazing job. I think he paints for Harvick and a few other guys, or has painted for Harvick in the past. And he's painted Truex's helmets in the past, too. So it's always fun to see what he comes up with. And he's got a really cool helmet for Homestead that I'm excited about. I don't really usually do too many one-off helmets, and we usually use the same one all year, but I'm excited about that one for the end of the season.
All right, Brandon, go ahead.
Dale, Brandon Marks, Charlotte Observer. You mentioned that you've been coming here ever since you were a little kid, and that's sort of your earliest memory. What is your earliest memory of being at this track, and just in general of growing up here with your dad?
The first thing I remember, like a image or a video, we were up in the suites, and I think it was 82 or 83 when it was qualifying, and I think Rick Wilson was in a black four, and so if that gives you any idea of the year, 81, 82, something like that. But I remember watching that car qualify, and I don't know why I remember that, but that's just an image that I have. And I know that we used to park on the heel of the road course. The Urys and the Earnharts would always park together over there. And I remember watching Sam Ard beat Dad one time in the 82 or 83 Xfinity race. And it was my birthday. And I was like, man, who is this guy, and how is he beating my dad? I don't know who he is. He ain't even a cup guy. I don't know why he's out running my dad, but Sam was whooping the cup guys all the time once I grew up and figured it out. But we used to play with those little plastic cars, Bobby Allison and Kelly Yarbrough's 27 and all those, and roll them down the hill on the road course. And then eventually they built the those condos, and I think they sold them for $20,000 a piece. You can't get one now for under $200,000. So it's we started watching the races up there, and that was pretty trick. That was a big deal when that happened.
All right, we're going to go to the back to Jacob. If we can get a mic, please.
Jacob Seelman, Performance Motorsports Network. Dale, kind of to dovetail off the earliest memory, what's your favorite memory here at Charlotte? And then with all the work that the track does trying to help build the younger drivers, the next generation, what advice would you give to anybody that's trying to get their start here at Charlotte?
Yeah, it's hard to, there's a million things you could give, tell a guy, but, obviously our best memory is the win in the All-Star race. That was an incredible experience and a big surprise for all of us. We just couldn't believe it, and it was great that Dad was in the race, and we passed him at the end, among many guys we passed, but he got to see it happen, he had a great view of the whole thing. So I don't know if he wasn't proud then, I don't know that he ever was, but it was a big deal, and he was really happy. As far as giving advice to drivers, you just have to talk to them one-on-one and understand their obstacles and help them understand how to accomplish and get over those. But it takes a lot of sacrifice.
All right, I believe Ben had a question up front.
Dale, Ben White with the Lexington Dispatch newspaper. Just if you could, give me a thought or two about Robert Yates. And I mean, you kind of watched him. You grew up sort of watching Robert in this sport. And of course, we've lost Robert now. But can you just give me a thought or two about Robert?
Well, I mean, I think there for a while, there wasn't a bet. It's a lot of freaking great engine builders in this sport. And there for a while, there wasn't anyone any better than him. And I think you can admire how he came into the sport as a engine builder and progressed into a car owner, self-made. You know, he wasn't a man with a business or a multi-million dollar, you know, business outside of motorsport. You know, he did it the old school way, become an owner through hard work and working within this industry, and you know, made that company himself. You know. And that's rare that people do that. And he was really a kind person and always was very nice and easy to talk to, mild-mannered. I appreciated that.
All right, I believe I have one additional question here in the middle I might have missed right here. Okay, thank you.
Just going back, Tyler had the racing experts. Just going back really quickly to the compound, you got a couple laps in right at the end of that session. Did you get in it and notice if it was any different, or did you avoid it like plague?
Oh,
is
yeah.
Is that the plan for the weekend now?
I'm avoiding it till somebody goes up there and shows me there's a lap up there. I ain't going near it on purpose. Might end up in it accidentally a few times, but yeah, I don't think anybody's willing to go up there without seeing someone else do it first. And it's obvious that that it's really slick. And until that, you know, somebody goes up there and proves otherwise, I don't think anybody's got any ideas to go up there and use it. Luckily, in qualifying, we don't run that, you know, run through the middle. But it's interesting. We cross over it, entering and exiting the corners, and I don't notice a big issue there. So it's activated, whatever happens when the cars run through there and put some heat into that or whatever, it seems to be okay. Not ideal, but okay. And but once you, if you get into it where no one has used it or been through there, it's like ice, and that's anywhere in the middle of the corner. But the bookends are okay. But we just put it in qualifying trim, tried to get a couple runs in. They weren't great. We got some work to do. Don't know how we're going to qualify. Don't anticipate. I won't be real disappointed if it's a bad result. We'll work hard over the night, over the rest of the evening, trying to get this car up to snuff compared to the primary. And then fortunately, we have tomorrow to practice some more and try to zero in on the speed that I had. I was really pleased coming off the truck, so we know we got a target to meet on performance and grip and comfort and handling, and we'll try hard over the next 24 hours to build that into this backup car. So a little disappointed, but you know, they build great. All the cars are, you know, intended to be great, and that's the same for the backup, so it should be fine.
All right, we're gonna take one final question up here up front.
Hi, Dale. Pete McColl with AutoRacing1.com. I know in the past you've had a hand in designing some of your paint schemes for your race cars. Last night we got to see the new 88 for next season. I was wondering if you had a hand in designing any of that and what you thought about Alex's vision for that car.
Yeah, that was definitely all Alex and sponsors and HMS working together. This is Alex's time. No need for me to be meddling in his car designs and so forth. Or anything else other than just helping him with advice when he needs it. But I thought all the cars looked great. I really do like the Camaro body style, so I think that helps improve the look of the car's designs, regardless of which one you're talking about. I like Jimmy's a lot. I kind of like that black, that color, that the base coat on the Jimmy's and the base coat on that 24, those, that black and that blue was really nice up close. But I thought they all looked pretty cool, and I know everybody's excited for Chase to be back in the nine. I think that was something I was really pulling hard for when I heard some of the rumors about that, and so that's very exciting for Chase, and I think it's great for HMS and the sponsors long term.
All right, Dale, we appreciate your time today.
Thank
and we wish you best of luck this
all right,
weekend.
Have a good weekend.